Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beneath Vancouver Radio. This is episode number 57. We are powering these episodes out. This particular week, I'm going to be recording four more. So it's been a busy week, but I'm really enjoying these conversations. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, this is my plaid go-to shirt at home. I swear I have other shirts as well. I just realized that this morning. I'm like, pretty sure I've worn this shirt for for a bunch of other episodes as well. So people might think that it's the only shirt I got. No. It's just when I'm at home, I like to be cozy, and this is my go-to cozy shirt. But anyways, this episode's not about my fashion or anything like that. I am here today with Colin. Colin, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no worries. And again, if you're watching this on YouTube, Colin's got a wonderful tropical backdrop there, which we'll get into a little bit more and talk a little bit more behind that story. But I'm really liking that. I'm feeling the summer vibes now. We are in early June, so we're almost there to the beginning of summer. But anyways, let's get right into it, Colin. As I start every other episode, and as my listeners know, Colin, who are you today?
Yeah, it's a great question. And like not necessarily the easiest thing to answer. I'm a little philosophical, I'm a little existential, as my friends and business partners know. So I think, you know, today I'm at this very important juncture in my life. And you know, I think it was Charlie Sheen in Wall Street said something like, life comes down to a few very important moments, and is one of them. And then he, and not to quote Charlie Sheen, but Wall Street, it's a great movie. And he goes on to meet Michael Douglas, his character, Gordon Gekko or whatever. And I think, you know, I think that's where I'm at. This is, you know, I'm venturing into starting my own business. You know, me and two business partners have opened a recording studio and creative space in East Vancouver. And, this is really, it does feel like the beginning of like a, not like a new chapter, but like a new book in the saga. Like it feels like we've completed one book and we started something new. So, kind of at the beginning of what feels like is going to be a life-changing experience for me.
Yeah. And the name of the studio obviously is in relation to the backdrop. You're going to share that a little bit with the audience.
Yeah. Palm Street Studios. I won't go too deep into the story about the name, but I can share that one of the first spaces we looked at was on Palm Avenue and in South Burnaby. And they had this like amazing palm tree street sign, and so that space didn't work out. And this space did, and so we had become kind of attached to the concept and the name and this idea of creating a space that could be a creative oasis for people, and so right. That's where the name came from, and then subsequently the background, the wallpaper behind me.
Hey, well, I think all it's missing is like a nice little, like those pools that the little kiddie pools, and maybe some fakes or some sand, put a little like umbrella and stuff like that, some shade and a lawn chair and a towel. You're all set. I mean, that's the vibe right there, especially on a nice sunny day like today. Get maybe coolers and everything. And yeah, that's all you need. You do your creative work, you maybe do a couple of shots and stuff like that, and there you go, you're all set.
Yeah, that's it. It would be like wall-to-wall sand would be something else. I mean, with the equipment in the recording studio, probably not.
Yeah,
not the best thing ideal to bring sand in there. But if we're talking about creating an experience, I think that's the move.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's talk a little bit more about kind of previous to this, you know, saga or portion, as you mentioned, of your life. Well, who was Colin prior to this? Well, you know, what did you do kind of growing up? What was kind of your experience now that you decided to end up going into creating and opening a creative studio and a recording studio, especially during a time like this, which we're still in the middle of a pandemic? You know, seems like brighter days are ahead, especially for the next coming months in the summer and into the fall. But let's start off, I guess that's a two-part question, so a bit of a double whammy there. Let's start off a little bit with talking about prior to the space that you're in right now and kind of the new business that you're entering, and then what decided to actually go into that kind of venture.
Yeah. So I studied sociology and political science at the undergraduate level, and then in Calgary, where I'm from, Okay. And then, yeah, I moved to Vancouver to pursue a master's at Simon Fraser in sociology and social psychology. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, you know, I wasn't entirely sure what the plan was. Education has always been important to me. And I mean that from the perspective of, you know, potentially pursuing, you know, a role in teaching and at the academic level. And as I kind of wrapped up school, I you know, I decided I wanted some kind of real world experience. I think you're in a little bit of a bubble in academia, and not to say that's a bad thing, but it's safe there, and it's a place where you can, you know, talk theory all day. But mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to really apply what I was learning and understand, you know, the practical application of the things that I was learning.
Right.
And so I actually kind of coincidentally, you know, I was interested in policy, and I was studying settlement and integration, and was really interested in helping people who come to this country from different parts of the world, mm-hmm. you know, figure out the things they need to figure out and get access to the resources they need to access, and from a policy perspective. And so that was kind of what I was interested in. And then I actually ended up meeting someone who was working as the manager of learning and development at Van City, the financial cooperative.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the first time I'd kind of had exposure to, like, oh, right, like, companies need to teach people things too. And companies, depending on what company, often pay better than a university does for you to teach their people the things they need to learn. So that kind of just opened up a completely different world to me. And over the course of the last 4 years, I've been in my career working as a learning and development and change consultant. And that has, you know, it's allowed me to kind of do the things I like to do, to problem solve, to take very complex things and break them down and help other people understand them. And so, yeah, that's kind of been the career. But along that journey, I ended up meeting one of my business partners, Andrew Lowe, who is an incredible pianist. He plays keys for a lot of like independent artists, R&B artists in Vancouver. And he's just an all around, you know, he's a great guy. We met, and I've always been into music. I've always been a huge fan of music. Mm-hmm. And I've always enjoyed making music as well as a songwriter. So more on the lyrical side of things. And so I had kind of, once I'd gone back to school and focused on school, I kind of put music on the back burner. Right. And then when I met him in the summer of 2018, you know, it was kind of just coincidentally that I was kind of doing, I was like rapping at this party, and he was walking by, and he's a producer, and he was kind of like, whoa, like, let me show you something. And then mm-hmm. he showed me something. And so we kind of hit it off very quickly. And then he, you know, it took us about 6 months, but he ended up introducing me to our third business partner, Adam Castillo. He's also known as Official Midnight in the kind of Vancouver hip hop and R&B scene. He's an incredible sound engineer.
Gotcha.
He was running a home studio. So the three of us kind of came together just to make music. And that just kind of snowballed and grew. And, you know, we've had the chance over the course of the last kind of 2 years together mm-hmm. To make music, but also to kind of look at, you know, what else is possible. So, you know, I'm kind of in that transition between, you know, my, I guess my corporate life and this, and I don't think they need to be necessarily two separate things. But yeah, that was who I was prior to and leading up to today.
No, that sounds amazing. And it really, just hearing that story as well, just kind of resembles a lot of different things that relate with a bunch of people that have been on the podcast and also listeners as well, that they're obviously going through certain things, and whether it be through life or through school, and they're learning different aspects, and they kind of go through the waters and go through the motion. And then they have almost like, again, this either passion or desire for other things that might be aside from their studies. And it's funny how when you continue to do that and you continue to put time and effort into, in your case, it was like music and rapping and kind of being involved in the music scene. For others, it's photography. For others, it's videography, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you're putting in the time, it's almost like eventually you're bound to connect with someone, or something good is almost bound to happen within that space, right? For me, speaking personally, you know, I come from a kinesiology background, but I wanted to get really into the world of marketing and branding and storytelling and stuff like that. So I got exposed to so many wonderful people, and so many different opportunities stemmed through those exposures and through meeting those people. So mentorship is also obviously a big component as well. And in your case, it wasn't maybe like a you know, someone who's a little bit more, you know, older, you know, traditionally your mentors are potentially older. And in this case, it was just like three buds that are really interested in certain things and really love music coming together and, you know, creating art, really what it is, art together. And then now this led to another business venture. And I like how you said as well, seeing what else is possible, seeing that you guys really mesh together and seeing like, you know, we're here, like what else can we do to make this place better for, you know, creatives or for the music industry in general?
Yeah. I think two things that kind of stand out to me there, like absolutely, like the energy you put out to the universe, it will come back to you. You know, I think it's from the book, The Alchemist, where, you know, like, it's a great book. I think if you haven't read that book, like, please, like, check this
book out. I'm still waiting for my Audible sponsorship, to be honest. They haven't gone back to my email yet, but, you know, we'll get there.
Yeah. But they say in that book, you know, that at one point, the main character, I think his name's Santiago, is having this conversation, and he, you know, the person he's having the conversation with says, like, if you want something bad enough, like, you know, if you put something out, like, the universe will conspire with you to help you achieve it. And I think to your point, like, it wasn't necessarily intentional, but it was my actions and the subconscious decisions and choices I was making,
right,
that, like you said, created these weird opportunities and connections. And then I think the other thing I just wanted to point to was, you know, with like this idea of what else is possible, you know, the three of us as independent creatives, you know, at living that life, I think we know, you know, where the gaps are, and we live the gaps, and we wanted to give access to independent we wanted to give independent creatives access to like high quality, affordable, you know, recording studio resources and creative space resources. And, you know, not to plug the recording studio too hard, but, you know, the vocal chain we have, the microphone, the preamp, like these are comparable with any studio in the city. But we're not going to charge you $100 an hour to come in and use a Neumann U87, right? Which is, you know, an incredible mic. We're going to do it at an affordable price point, because, you know, I think we know as independent creatives that sometimes the challenge is actually accessing the right tools, right?
No, for sure. Yeah. And sorry to cut you off, but yeah, it's like the ability sometimes, especially when it comes to something as music, where obviously the vocals and the equipment and stuff like that behind it matter a lot. It's the access is for sure the biggest complaint. Also, like from a creative standpoint, like I have friends who are photographers and shoot for brands, local brands and stuff like that. And I remember asking one person, like, I was interested just for the sake of it, seeing how much like the creative space was. And there were like people telling me that like the day rates are up to like $1,000. I'm like, what? Like, I'm not too sure. Like, again, I'm not an expert in the space, so, you know, maybe that's the industry standard or something like that. But to me, it's just like mind boggling of like, why you got to spend all that money as well, just for the space. And it's, you know, at the end of the day, part of coming out of your expenses, right? So it's either you're charging a lot for your work, which, you know, if you're to that level, you might be already. But if you're just starting off, like these spaces are spaces that you probably can't afford, right? So it's important to bridge that gap, I think.
Yeah. I think we, you know, our business model and our intention is really, how do we take people who are new or junior and give them the access to help them continue to develop their skills, continue to develop their client bases? Because to your point, like with our creative space, you know, looking at, you know, PeerSpace or this open space or some of these platforms that help you access, identify and access spaces, like you're right, the hourly rates, the day rates, they're really, really expensive. And so if you're kind of just starting out, or you're in a space where you're trying to do things on a budget, which I don't know any independent creative who isn't trying to kind of do things, you know,
I'm still using the same mic from 3 years ago. So, you know,
well, it sounds great. But so with the creative space as well, we did the same thing. We said, what do people need? They need good lights. Okay. Well, like, you know, quasars are like these incredibly powerful tube LED lights that you can, you know, adjust and change, and you can get them for fairly inexpensive. They're super, I guess, just practical, but get the job done and are high quality. And so with the creative space, you know, everything we've done in that space is from the same perspective. How do we give people access to like the white screen, the green screen, a number of other colors? How do we do that for like $40 an hour versus $100 an hour? Or, you know, and, you know, it's possible. It's possible when the objective is to help others create, but to do it in a way that's sustainable for a business, as opposed to the objective of a lot of businesses, not to go too Karl Marx here, but it's profit and profitability. And, you know, profit is important to us, but it's equally as important as helping to grow the creative community in Vancouver, because there's like so many talented creatives. And I think COVID, to kind of tie that in, has just accelerated that.
Oh, for sure. There's definitely a lot more people now that are creating stuff, you know, from their home, from wherever really, and wherever they can. And I think that's also have been sort of like, you know, from the pandemic and everything that spawned from it. Obviously, a lot of terrible things have happened. You know, people shortcutting their businesses, obviously people losing lives and everything like that, all terrible, terrible things. But on the other side, and, you know, the quote unquote silver lining, if you will, has been that a lot of people have started to start their own business or start going in ventures and start, you know, going into the unknown, which I think is super important, especially in times where, you know, it showed uncertainty in life, right? Where we kind of took things for granted and we seeing our friends, going out to eat, not being scared of, you know, catching a virus. So stuff like that has kind of changed people's perspectives. So yes, I think navigating that even more through a pandemic is obviously very, very important. So I'm going to quickly kind of change gears here a little bit, and I'm going to talk a little bit more from your perspective and get kind of your insight as someone who's been, you know, as you said, in the industry, in the creative space for a bit now. What do you think from a macro level, just Vancouver as a whole, what do you think is our biggest issue when it comes to creatives that you've seen? I'm curious. I haven't asked this question a lot, actually, which maybe I should more, because most of the people here are creatives and are from Vancouver. But I'm curious for your take.
I think it's a great question. I'll start by, you know, I think qualifying the question by saying, like, I think Vancouver does so much right in the creative space, and it's flourishing. You know, I think, you know, obviously like film, okay, we, you know, everyone knows, like, you know, Hollywood North, and like, we know film is booming here, but I think there's an incredible, you know, there's a number of incredible academic, educational institutions here for artists, Emily Carr, Vancouver Film School. Like, there's a lot of good schools and education, for the arts, which is a good foundation. I think there is tons of people doing like really creative things in the space. And so I think there's so much positive and really good stuff to talk about. But I think that, you know, the question is, where are the opportunities? I think how do I say this? I think it can be like a little clicky. I think there is like some gatekeepers in certain spaces. And I think if the creatives in Vancouver found, and the Lower Mainland found more ways to connect and create together, as opposed to maybe kind of keeping their cards closer to their chest, I think it would improve and benefit everyone. And so I think that's my observation, is that I do think there's way more opportunity for collaboration. And I think as we start to figure out the formula for collaboration, and across mediums, I think is where like a big opportunity is. Like, how do you bring different creators to the table together to create experiences that are music or visual, that are interactive, is where I think the opportunity lies.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be interesting as well, as obviously things start opening up, seeing how that kind of creative space is done, and also visualizing, I think, the future of Vancouver, because as from someone who, again, has been not so much a creator themselves a lot as maybe compared to people who do this, you know, potentially full time. But for me, like, a lot of what stems from, you know, the brand beneath Vancouver is me seeing to see exactly who is within our city and who's doing what. And I've come to notice like certain, certain people that are kind of like the go-tos for certain things. Right. And it's kind of like, these people are known for the space for doing, you know, great videography, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it's the people that are inspired by these certain individuals that need kind of maybe the help or the advice of connecting with certain things or certain individuals that can push them one step forward. And I'm sure you heard this a lot, but it's like, if you have the opportunity to lift everyone together, I think it's better than to do that than just to lift one person up, right? And kind of bring everyone onto the pedestal, I guess, so to speak. And obviously it's a matter of building that talent and building that skill set. And you're not going to go from, you know, zero to hero in about a month or 2 months, probably not even a year realistically, right? But it's also the aspect, and maybe we can touch upon this as well and get your inputs on this, as the kind of the more business side of being a creator, the networking, the, for lack of a better word, the politics sometimes and stuff like that, right? So I know from my firsthand experience, you definitely have to kind of go work your way around and you know, open certain doors, and those doors will open up doors to other people and network, and obviously do it for the proper intentions and everything like that. But I'm curious maybe to hear your experiences when it comes to, yeah, the more business side of, you know, being a creator that maybe some people ignore and some people don't realize from the outside. They just think, you know, you point and shoot and you call it a day, but there's a little bit more to it than just that.
Yeah. The first thing I just wanted to point to, and something that I think you kind of flagged even earlier in the conversation as well, is, you know, I don't know that there's necessarily a really, you know, structured or healthy mentorship kind of program, whether it's like formal or informal, happening in the arts community at large. And so I think there's definitely something there for people who are listening.
New business venture.
Yeah, there's definitely something there. I think if you can create some sort of mentorship to connect, you know, experienced photographers with newer or emerging photographers, musicians, like, I think that's so cool. And we've seen that model work really well in a lot of different industries. So maybe in the independent creative space, it could work. The business side of it is, I mean, it's the, I don't know if this expression, I thought of an expression, it's like the ugly stepsister or something. I don't know what that, if that expression, I don't know if that's the right expression, but it is part of this, the ecosystem for independent creatives. That's it's fundamental. And I think understanding or connecting to people that do understand the business aspects of this, but are also creatives is important and essential to like moving things forward. Because, you know, I know and work with a lot of creatives who are just like, they're either not interested in the business and the politics, which I can appreciate, because I think sometimes this concept of business and politics gets a bad rap because of the way we see it exercised in different sectors and the way we experience it in our lives. So I can appreciate that. And it can get in the way of the creative process. Like, you know, sometimes when you want to create, you just want to create. And you know, the kind of the minutiae and the detail of the business side of things can be annoying. So I can appreciate those things, but they're essential to really, I think, empowering independent artists. And I think as we continue to move towards a world where, you know, more and more independent creatives are taking that market share from, you know, like mainstream media,
right?
You know, like the, you know, like cable television versus like YouTube content creators is a good example. Like, I feel like, you know, most of this content I'm consuming now is coming from, you know, in some capacity, independent creatives. And so I think as this shift continues to happen, you know, it's important for creatives to have even a fundamental sense of the business side of things to protect themselves as well, because you know, I think people do try to take advantage of artists. It's common trope throughout history. We've seen it. You know, you think about like artists like Prince, who were very vocal about, their experience, Dave Chappelle and kind of his experiences and that stuff coming to fruition. Many artists have been taken advantage of. And I think as independent creatives continue to grow and become major players, the same thing's going to happen. So understanding that the business side of things is super valuable. Creative BC is a great place to start to access resources. But you know, maybe it's tied into that mentorship thing. I think there does need to be more education opportunities, I think, for independent creatives to understand the business and the politics and how to navigate those things.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think as well, like for me personally, and maybe you can relate to that, like all the stuff that I've learned was either through a mistake or me burning myself, or hopefully getting the advice from someone who's actually gone through the ropes and gone through the trenches. I have a good friend of mine, shout out Jensen. He has a YouTube channel, and he does this kind of, he does the YouTube thing and other entrepreneurship, I guess, in general, full-time now. And I was asking him a lot of questions when it came to tax season earlier, you know, a couple months ago. Hopefully you filed your taxes by now, but, I had asked him like a couple of questions because it was my first year kind of with the sole proprietorship and all like the, it got kind of messy and, you know, I'm not the best person at finances. So maybe I didn't keep track of everything that I should have kept track of. And anyways, long story short, he helped me out a lot. And he was kind of telling me, oh, you should reach out to this person. She has helped me, you know, for the last couple of years. She understands the industry as well and understands the space. Because I think for a lot of like accountants or CPAs and stuff like that, they might not be well-versed in what is now like, again, sort of taking over mainstream media, right? Content creators and, you know, streamers and TikTokers, you name it, right? Mm-hmm. So anyways, essentially the point of the story is, or the point of what I'm trying to get across is that mentorship opportunity was there, right? It wasn't a direct mentorship, but it was an opportunity. And I've had the relationship with him for years to just rely on him and just shoot him a message and be like, hey, I'm in a bit of a pickle right now. Can you help me out? What do you recommend? So I think having that access is definitely a privilege and something that I think, as you mentioned, a lot of creators are lacking or would really benefit from having that kind of access to certain individuals. So, you know, maybe we'll see. We'll see if something spawns out of this, right? And if anyone else does take that idea, you know, we do have, Colin and I do have a founder's fee. You can contact us and we'll maybe get a cut of that. But we're gonna talk now a little bit more about the studio. I think we've talked a lot about the creatives and Vancouver as a whole and stuff like that, which has been great because I think in general we don't from the podcast side, we don't actually talk a lot about that. We just talk kind of more about obviously what the person's doing and their story and everything like that. But I want to give you your fair share of background information as well. So and tell us a little bit about your beginning, your middle. So kind of where are you now with the studio and kind of what do you guys hope to achieve it for it to be in the next half a year, 2022 and moving forward?
Yeah. So we are officially, we're officially open for business. So if you are an independent creative, if you make music or you're a photographer, you do film, or even if you're interested in producing merchandise, we have the tools available for you to come here and do any or all of those things. And that was really, you know, important to us was this, you know, once again, from the perspective of an independent artist, like how do we create the wraparound experience as an independent musician? You know, you need to record your stuff. You also, you know, we live in an Instagram, TikTok world. And so you need, you know, YouTube world. So you need to make, you know, high quality content to accompany the music you're putting out. Mm-hmm. And then the other piece to all of that is, you know, it's hard to make money off streams. Yeah. You know, even in, on the YouTube side, which, you know, you can generate revenue from ads, like it's tough. It's hard to make a livable income. And so the merch side of things was important for us to have here. So we got a press, we got a embroidery machine. We can help people understand how to use these tools to make small batch merch, right?
Because I'd have to reach out for some Beneath Vancouver merch then.
let us know, man. We'd love to have you come by and see the space. And that's so, you know, those are the kind of the three pillars of the solutions that we're trying to provide. We have, like I said, we got the, you know, the recording studio, and that's kind of, it's comparable to you know, in terms of the equipment we have in there, it's comparable to most of the big studios in Vancouver. And that was important to us. Mm-hmm. Creative space, we got a 25 foot by 12 foot by 10 and a half foot room with a big, you know, back white screen backdrop. We got an array of lighting fixtures. We got a couple of really good cameras on site. If someone showed up, needed to use the space, but didn't have access to a 4K, you know, like Sony Alpha Sony, 7. Yeah. Yeah, like, so we want to make sure if someone comes here, they can show up and they could be brand new to music, or they could be a well-seasoned independent emerging artist. And, mm-hmm. you know, so we've been open for about 10 days since we kind of finished the final details. There are still a couple pieces we're finalizing in terms of the look and feel, mm-hmm. but we're fully functional, and it's been great because us being situated in the independent community, you know, we've been able to have a lot of people come through so far and do shoots, record, and we're just kind of getting the merch up and running now. So we have a couple individuals next week who'll come through, and we're going to test out what does it look like to help, you know, someone make like 10 or 20 shirts, as opposed to like, you know, you go online to try to order something like that. It's a very, I guess it's like, yeah, there's a disconnect there. It's a weird experience, and it never turns out right. And so, you know, we wanted to, you know, like I said, have people be able to really understand and learn about how to do these things. And we want to do it in a way that allows us to run a business, but also, you know, is affordable. I think those are the three things, like quality. Like, we're not sacrificing quality anywhere. That was the fundamental, the foundation of the business was like high quality. Mm-hmm. Then the next thing we looked at was like affordability, so that it's accessible to a lot of different people who might need it. And then finally, it's about networking and education. And we want to continue to use our space to connect different artists, and to help people learn about, you know, not only the technical side of things, but also kind of some of the other pieces around the edge, around, I think, the business side of things as an independent, because we want to see, and we believe the future is independent. So we want to see independent artists be able to collaborate with us to push all of our stuff forward. So that's where we're at. We're open for business.
I like it, man. No, I love it a lot. And I think for myself, that's actually something that I wanted to get started on too, was being able to find a space, like a, almost like a central hub, I guess you can call it, of just, if you go there, regardless of, you know, your level of experience, regardless of where you are in life as a creative, or maybe even not even a creator yet, but you want to maybe get exposed to the space, of just being able to drop by and just have a chit chat. I mean, that's really what I miss the most about, obviously, the last year and a bit, is just being able to have a conversation in person, you know, obviously in person, and, you know, just sitting down. I mean, the couch where you're at right now looks very comfortable. So if you got two of those, I'd probably be there all day, but just that space in general and the way that you described it, I really can't wait to check it out. Are you guys looking of maybe hosting events kind of in the near future once the summer gets a bit better?
We'll see how it goes. We, you know, I think that's something we're really interested in, but we're also, you know, we just want everyone to be safe right now. Course. And so I think, you know, once, you know, everyone's all vaccinated, mm-hmm. and like things are safe and open, we'll absolutely be looking to do a number of different kind of creative style meetups. So, you know, whether that's like having, you know, hip hop is very near and dear to my person, to me personally. So, you know, we've been talking about having ciphers. So bringing in handful of producers, handful of MCs, and just like spending a day ordering some food, getting some people to create together who maybe wouldn't cross paths or have that opportunity. I think with the business side of things as well, we have an incredible accountant, someone who's been a child, like a friend of mine for a very, very long time. And she's just really educated on this stuff. And she's in Paris. And, but you know, we're looking at how do we kind of set something up where we can have her, we can bring in some independents and we can have her talk about like, what are the five big things that independent creatives or artists should know? Because she does, she's a chartered accountant for a number of independent artists and companies that do independent content creation. And it's been like you described earlier with your connection, I think it's been instrumental in helping us and giving us the confidence to know like, okay, like we're, you know, we're not like setting ourselves up for a disaster.
Yeah, no, for sure. I wish I maybe talked to her a little bit sooner than later, but yeah, that's super important and something that's not really talked about again. And yeah, that'd be a great event right there. Just like a, just financial advice, or not even advice really, but just like setting up yourself for success as a creator financially, right? And understanding, you know, the ins and outs of essentially the business that you're trying to establish, right? Because you don't really get taught that, even if you, you know, maybe on YouTube, you'll go a little bit here and there and dig in, but it's not the same as hearing it from someone who's actually in the space and has experience with people from all over the world that are also doing, you know, similar things that you're doing. I think that for me personally is the best way to learn and stuff like that. So,
yeah, I think the thing I would say there too is like a lot of independent creatives don't realize that they are sole proprietors. Like you are, if you're an artist, your art is your business and you're a business owner. And there are incredible tax benefits. There are incredible, you know, granting opportunities. There's all these things that if you're an artist, even if you're not like generating income off your art, if you're creating art and you're spending money to do it, like, guess what? All that money you're spending is deductible, you know, towards your tax return. And, you know, so I think it can enable an artist to pursue art in a more serious and tangible way if they understand the benefits of like you've described a sole proprietorship or a partnership or even doing the full incorporation.
Yeah, the LTD. No, but yeah, all amazing things that I think everyone should at one point understand, you know, regardless of where you are in your creative space. And again, super important things that you don't get taught at all, really. And you kind of need to figure out yourself. And in my case, I kind of figured out while I was in the middle of, you know, the battle, I was trying to figure out the strategy while I'm getting, you know, shot at from a bunch of different angles. So, no, well, Colin, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it and sharing your story a little bit here. And I'm personally really looking forward, you know, once things start opening up, it seems to be that things are getting a little bit brighter again in the upcoming months. So maybe I'll even have a podcast there. We'll do an in-person one, set up a nice multi-cam setup, and we'll record something rather unique. So I'm really looking forward to that. But I can't let you go without the final question. I mean, that's just tradition here at Beneath Vancouver Radio. So Colin, what piece of advice would you give to your younger self and why?
Yeah. What piece of advice? I think, just be yourself. Honestly, that like, I know it's cliche, but be yourself. You know, the things that make you are your differentiators. They're the things that genuinely connect with other people and that people are interested in. They're not interested in seeing you try to impersonate someone or something else. And I think especially, you know, in the music space, like it's just always so incredible to come across an artist that's just truly being themselves and making the music that they want to make. And that really speaks to me. And so I think, you know, I think there absolutely have been times in my life where I felt pulled to take on a persona or to act in a certain way. And I think if I could go back, I would have said like, get comfortable in your own skin sooner, because that genuine kind of take on life is, it's powerful and it leaves an impression.
No, it does. It really. And that's something that I still struggle with a little bit to this day, right? Again, being kind of a quote unquote outsider to this industry and this kind of field, it's better to get comfortable, as you said, with yourself and who you are sooner rather than later, or or it does get tougher as things start to progress. So, and I'm proud of it, man. I'm a weird goofball that has a podcast. So, and it's allowing me to talk with 56 other people. So, I'll take it. I'm very grateful and very blessed for having that opportunity and hopefully continue to have this opportunity in life. But thank you, Colin. I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Where can people find you if they either want to check out the studio, connect with you personally? Where can, this is your 30 seconds of plugs. Go.
Awesome. Yeah. So Instagram is going to be the central place right now. The website's all, just being finished. So at Palm Street Studios, YVR, that's the handle. Instagram is going to be the place where you can DM us. You can see our email there as well. You can reach out to us to inquire. We're running tours all the time. So if you just want to come check this place out, hit us up on Insta. We'd love to have you come through for half an hour. We'll show you the space. Maybe we'll take a couple pictures. We'll turn the mic on, let you hear what your voice sounds like on that U87. At Colin Joseph Cuthbert is my personal Instagram. Adam Castillo and Andrew Lowe, my two business partners, you can find their contact information on our Instagram page as well. But Instagram is really going to be the kind of central hub at Palm Street Studios, YVR. And we're located in East Vancouver. So don't just show up at the studio just because of COVID and
Hello,
stuff.
I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. We definitely need to hear from you before you're kind of here. But we're in East Van, and we would love to have any creatives come through and see the space, and we're really excited to collaborate and to be a part of the scene in this different capacity.
I love it. I'll have all of the links that Colin just mentioned as well on the, if you're watching this on YouTube, in the description down below. If you're listening to it on Spotify, all audio platforms will have it in the podcast description. So it'll be easy for you to find. And I'll make sure to add that as well, Colin, so people can reach out to you. And yeah, make sure to set up a reservation. Yeah, don't just show up. Unless you're listening to this a year from now, then you can probably, hopefully by then, knock on wood, just show up.
Exactly.
Thank you again, Colin. I really do appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time again out of your day. I love the studio so far from what I can see and from what I can hear. So again, I'm looking forward to the day where I could drop by and be able to see and obviously meet you and the rest of the team as well. And thank you everyone for tuning in. This was episode number 57 of Beneath Vancouver Radio. Thank you for all the support so far. We're at the time of this recording, we're very, very close to reaching the 3,000 plays. So let's keep it going. Thank you for sharing, all the, again, listeners from all over. Really, we're getting a lot of newcomers outside of Vancouver and outside of Canada in general. So that's always a very good sign that, people are getting to see what Vancouver is all about and seeing the amazing people that make up this city. So Colin, any final thoughts, anything before we wrap it up?
Thank you, man. I think that's it. I really enjoyed myself today, and I'm a fan. I'm a fan.
Thank you, man.
And so I'm going to hold you to this in person.
Yes,
podcast. We'll talk. We can get the partners. We'll get the multi cameras. You sparked my interest. So yeah, no, I really appreciate your time today and the conversation, and I appreciate digging through the other 56 as well. I've listened to a couple episodes, but I'm going to go back and spend a little time digging through.
Yeah, there's definitely some gems in there. Maybe don't go far too deep. Episodes 1 and 2, you know, we're very early stages. That was 2018, Aaron. So, we live and learn, though. We live and learn. We're still out here producing some great content. So thank you again, everyone. My name is Aaron. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Take care. Peace.